looks about a year older since these days. Brother Rick, appreciate all the chalk you developed did. And these young people, thank you for being willing to go for the while.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. We had a great time. See, so I've already taken care of that part. You don't have to tell anybody the fun you had. You don't have to tell anybody about the zip line. Nobody about the swing. Nobody. I want you to talk to them about spiritual things that God did for you this weekend. Now, are there any college and career people here that want to give testimony this weekend as well? Because they had theirs last weekend. Anybody here at all that went to the college and career that wanted to give a testimony tonight as well? Because you're out of luck. I'm teasing. All right, so what we're going to do, guys, young people, is I want to do like we've done in the past, one right after another. Just don't wait. Take your time. I mean, matter of fact, we're going to start right here. We're going to go in the order that you sat down in. It'll make it so much easier. So, Lindsay, you get to go first. We're going to go right down through there. When we get to the end of that row, we'll go right here and we'll go this way. Well, all the young people, and then we'll let the adults speak last, okay? Some of y'all that are on the second row, once Zeke and Zane go on this, and Cody go on this side, start right there with JJ, and y'all go, or whoever's going to give testimony, all right? If you're just sitting up here to be supportive, that's fine. Elbow the next person, say, your turn, and let them come on, all right? We just don't want to waste any time in the service. We want to glorify God in everything that was done this weekend. So, Lindsay, you ready?
Sure.
Okay, come on. When you get up here, give your name, because all this is going on the CD back there. So give them your name, tell them your social security number, how okay. much money you have in your bank account, and we'll get it all taken care of.
All right. My social security number. I'm Lindsay Dyer, and as usual, when I go to the wilds, God showed me many things, little tiny things, even like Brother Mark Herbster. He's our preacher for the weekend. He was talking about the greatness of God and all the things that he was to us, and all of a sudden he just started singing the little nursery hymn, My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, and I just pondered those words the rest of the weekend. It's just wonderful to think how great our God is. So this is one of the tiny things that God showed me, and one of the big things were the very first day he was talking about the Bible and how it's like our spiritual food, and he said to mark it, memorize it, meditate on it, and master it. And so I wrote those down, and I was like, okay, got it. I mean, I've been doing good on that. I've been reading my Bible. And then we got to the last God and I time, which is where you just sit down, you read your Bible, and you answer these questions that they ask you on this piece of paper. And we had to read Psalm 119. And verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And then the question that the paper asked was, what does it mean to meditate on God's word? And so I was about to write something down, and I realized that I didn't really know. So I went back to the food analogy, and I thought, okay, so when you eat food, you don't just put it in your mouth and swallow it. Obviously, you have to chew it first. So I thought about that, and I realized that I've been going my whole life without chewing on God's word, without, like, understanding what the verses mean. Like the verse John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and so on. If you take word by word, you realize how just amazing that verse is. God gave his only son for us. And so just pray that I'll start to meditate on God's word rather than just swallowing it whole.
Amen. Amen. Careful.
Do I actually have a stand on that?
Yeah. I can't see all the flowers if you don't.
This weekend was great. It was really fun, as they all said. And I actually got the chance to go to the wilds during the summer for a week. And Pastor Mark Herbster, he was actually speaking the week I was there in the summer, too. So I got to hear him twice. And on Saturday in the morning for chapel, he was talking about the truth about God. And, I mean, I've been in church my whole life. I know that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. And so I don't really think about those things very much. I mean, it's just how it's always been. I just always knew that. And he, like, went into a really, like, big detail about it. Like, we had never heard about it before. And he told us everything about it and what everything meant. And it really, like, opened my eyes to what I've been missing, because he said these characteristics make God, God. And God is, like, huge. And I just,
it's hard. You can't get your mind around it. And he said, he literally said, explode in praise to him. And I realized that I haven't been doing that. Like, I know you're supposed to praise him all the time for who he is and what he's done, but I just, like, you get really tired and school and sports, and you just don't have enough time to praise God. And I realized that I need to start praising him and explode in praise to him. So I pray that you would help me to remember that I need to praise God all the time.
Amen.
Hi, there we go. I'm Christina. This weekend at the Wilds, we had a really awesome speaker, Mark Herbster. God really spoke to me through him all weekend, but I think that the one that really stuck out to me was this morning's message. He preached from Philippians 1:20, which says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And what this is talking about is how we're supposed to magnify God. We're supposed to glorify him through us. Mr. Herbster gave us three ways to glorify God. One, we need to have public commitment. People should know that we're Christians and that we love Jesus. And two, we're supposed to stand up for him. And three, we're supposed to speak for Jesus. God really spoke to me about how much I'm failing in those. I don't have a public commitment to Christ. If someone were to ask one of my friends what I'm like, the first thing that they would say would not be that I'm a committed Christian who loves Jesus. I haven't been standing up for Jesus. I'm too worried about how others think about me than to worry about that. I haven't been boldly speaking for Christ. Every time I talk, people should see Jesus in me. They don't really. So I prayed to Jesus about this, and I asked God for forgiveness and for him to give me the grace to be a publicly committed Christian who stands up and speaks for Christ. I believe that God will give me this grace. My only request is that y'all to pray for me and that I'll glorify God in everything that I do.
Amen.
Hey, I'm Anna, and so everybody knows, I had a really good time at the Wilds, and so the service that spoke to me the most was the Sunday morning service. Nope, it wasn't. It was a Saturday night service, and so the first thing I'd like to say is, that spoke to me was that I have not been I have not been telling people about Jesus a lot, and I need to do that because God's plan is to save his people, and, you know, I need to do that. So I have a Bible verse, and it's Romans 1:15-17, and I need to find that. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Of course, I'm not going to preach in Rome. Well, maybe, but for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I need to start telling the gospel more. That way I can, you know, do what Jesus tells me to do. Because the gospel is everything that Jesus is. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Ansley Busey, and of course, most of you all know me. When I was listening to Brother Herbster, thank you, Dad, preaching on Friday night, he was talking about the good news. At first, when he read in the book of Romans 1:16, God laid on my heart to say this: stop trusting myself and start trusting God. I realize that my heart hasn't been trusted by Him very much because I've kind of been trusting myself too much. So I want y'all to pray for me that I should start trusting God, not myself. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Tony. I left all my sermon notes in my bag, so I don't have them with me. But God spoke to me in several ways this weekend. Some of the big parts were, like, if you remember when I came back from India in the summer, you know, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I told y'all, you know, I was going to do my best to serve Him and, you know, surrender my life to Him. And so outwardly, I wanted to keep through that. And one of my favorite quotes I heard, if someone accused you of being a Christian, would you have enough evidence to convict them or to be convicted? And I feel like outwardly, yes, that was true. I could be. People at school knew I was a Christian. You know, my softball team, oh, yeah, she's a Christian girl. She doesn't do that, you know. But, like, inwardly, one of the things that Mr. Mark talked about a lot this week was it's not your outward appearance. It's not your actions. It's your intentions and why you're doing it. And so outwardly, I looked like I was living for God, but I realized inwardly I was still doing things for myself. I was only doing it when it was convenient for me. And so I realized that, yeah, outwardly, I could be convicted for being a Christian. But inwardly, if someone saw what I was really thinking for it, I don't think that was true. Like, yes, I know I'm a Christian, but I wasn't living it. And so that's one of the big things for me. Another big thing is that I struggle with grudges and, like, bitterness. And I talked to my counselor about it this morning. And one of the things she said is that the things that people do to us, it's no different than what we're doing to Christ every day. And there's no reason I can hold that against them if I'm doing the same thing to Christ every day and His grace is what's, you know, covering my sins, but it's also, it allows me to forgive other people. So if you'll just pray for me that I'll be able to live through God's grace and to let it shine through me.
Thank you.
I don't know that I need that.
Yeah,
thanks. Okay. Hi, my name is Annalisa Heiss, and this is my first year going to the Wilds. And this morning when he preached in chapel, he taught or preached about... Speak up? Okay, he taught about being a telescope or a microscope toward God, so that when people see you, they see God through you, and that, like... You need to make a public commitment to being you don't need to be ashamed of being a Christian and to stand up for Him. And if you really stood up for Jesus, that you'd, like, it would be proved through your actions and you would, like, keep His commandments. And I thought that I was doing a pretty good job standing up for Christ. And then when He said that you need to, like, prove it through your action, I was like, whoa. It scared me. I was like, I don't know that I'm doing that. So if you'd pray for me that I'll keep His commandments and prove through my actions that I'm glorifying God.
Hi, I'm Holly, for those who don't know me. And I think it was Saturday afternoon, and he was talking about how he asked us a question. Why do we get pumped about things that don't matter instead of, like, being able to tell somebody about Christ? And that stood out to me because I'm all about sports, football games, all that. So, yeah. So it stood out to me that I should probably be more pumped about being able to tell somebody about the Bible instead of my basketball game.
Hey, I'm Kendra, and yeah, we all had a really good time at the Wilds. And what spoke to me a lot was God and I time, the first one. And we were studying Isaiah 40, verse 12 was what really spoke to me. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And it spoke to me because, I've always thought, oh, yeah, God's big, but I haven't, like, thought about it. He measured the waters of the earth with his hands, like, wow, all the oceans and everything, like, with his hands. And so it teaches me that I need to, like, trust him more because he's just that big. And I pray that y'all would help, that y'all would pray for me, that I would just trust him with everything. And
hi, I'm Katie, and I went to the Wilds Retreat this past week, and there were several things that stood out to me, but one of the things was on Friday night, the first night we were there, and Mr. Mark Hoepster taught about the main truth. It was just the gospel of Jesus, but he talked about how it's more than just the birth and resurrection of Christ, but also how we give the gospel, and he talked about the strength of the gospel and how it has power to save us and has power to cover our sins. And he talked about the scope of the gospel and being for everyone who believes. And he spoke about the sorrow of the gospel, which means, you know, like, some people aren't going to believe. And that really spoke to me because, you know, some people are not going to believe. And, you know, all we can do is pray for them. And also on, I think it was last night or this morning, he spoke, I spoke about living for the glory of God, and he said mainly three things, which was, I must make a public commitment, and that really switched me because a lot of times I'm really quiet, so even I may make a commitment in my heart, but then I don't tell anybody about it, and so I'm not always able to live it through as well as I would be able to if I was actually telling people about it. And so that really spoke to me, and he talked about living for Christ, about my personal commitment, and having discipline in my life, and to, like, study, not just study my Bible, but, like, read it and mark it, as he spoke about on the first night. He said to, you know, you gotta read it, mark it, memorize it, master it, and follow it. And and then lastly, he spoke for living for Christ is worth it. And he said that, you know, when life is done, there will be no regrets for following Christ. So I just hope that you guys will pray for me, that I'll be able to be more public about my commitments, and that I'll study my Bible more and read it, mark it, follow it, and, yeah, master it. Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, I'm Zeke, for those who don't know me, but y'all should know me. The first night, the speaker talked about a lot of food at first, but then he actually got more serious and told us about how food is like scripture and how we need to eat it and think about what we're eating. And so I just want y'all to pray for me that when I'm reading my Bible or studying scripture, that I'll think more about what I'm reading than just going through it.
Hello, everybody. My name is Zane Mays. This was my third and hopefully not final time of going to the Wilds. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you who provided financial and spiritual support for all of us. I know that we all appreciate and that we all took something out of it. First few sessions that Mr. Hoepster taught, basically summing up the plan of salvation, summing up salvation for all of those campers. And I realized something. I realized that how happy and how joyful a Christian can be to hear that over and over again, even though it's the same story. The spiritual application of that is just so encouraging. I believe, though, that the session that spoke to me most was the one that he preached this morning. He preached about application in the Christian's daily life. I realized, as he was talking, I realized, what am I doing to reach those people who I sit at the lunch table with? What am I doing at school? What am I doing to help reach those people who sit beside me in class who I think are obnoxious, you know, but have some who have some deep spiritual hurt? What am I doing to give the gospel to those people and help those people as they go throughout their life? And I'd ask that you'd pray for me, and of course pray for the rest of us, that we'd help apply these spiritual truths to our lives and we may become more like Christ. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Cody Davis, and I ended up going a little bit late. I only got up there yesterday, so I wasn't there for the first night service, so I don't really know what that was about. But one of the things that spoke to me at the very beginning was when he was talking about how Paul was ready to preach in Rome, and everyone should be ready to preach the gospel. It reminded me of a quote I read in a devotional book a while back. It was, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And this really spoke to me because in my life, I really don't serve God most of the time. And I'd like to ask y'all to pray for me about that. But during God and I time yesterday morning, it was Isaiah 40, 12 to the end of the chapter. But verse 12 is talking about how he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. But something that spoke to me about it was it doesn't say the waters of the world. It just says the waters. And so that could mean all the water in the universe and all the different galaxies and planets. All of that is in one hand. And it just speaks to me about how gigantic and awesome God is. And then this morning in God and I time, it was about part of Psalm 119. And it's all about is the psalmist over and over asking God to please show him the scripture, open his eyes so he can understand it. And it made me realize that when I read my Bible, I don't really meditate on it. I don't stop and think about it a lot. Like, I'll read it, and sometimes I will take my time and think, but most of the time I just read it to read it, which isn't doing anything. And so I'd like to ask y'all to pray for me about that too, so that when I read my Bible, I'll actually meditate on His Word and think about it.
Amen.
Any girls on the second row, Kevin? Lori, throw one of them out. All right, well then I'm going to open up to our adults. Okay, I saw some college and career people come in late. We've got this open for y'all as well. If any of y'all would like to give a testimony, just make your way forward. Lorraine, if you want to come, you're already up here, so I'll let you come first. So come on.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Wynn. I want to begin by saying thank you for the privilege of being able to go with your children this weekend. They were a wonderful credit to the families and the church. You can be very proud of them. They behaved very well. And thank you for letting me go. Constantly, this is a theme I seem to harp on, whether it's ladies' tea or here. You know, God is always in the little things and the big things. We had seen that it was rain forecasted all weekend, and we thought, you know, the big swing in the rain. But there was not any significant rain in any of the activity time periods. So everything carried on as normal. We weren't slushing around in the mud. It was just a great time of being able to enjoy one another. I'll give you two things that really stood out to me in the services. There were just a couple of quotes, and when I talk about the quotes, the verses will come to your mind. One of them is, God's grace is sufficient for all, but only efficient for those that have believed. And that one was really one of those aha, you know, that's because we know God's grace is sufficient, but it's only efficient for those that have believed. And of course, on the very last service, I was able to pick out the accountant's verse. He brought out the accountant's verse to us. And that would be for those of you who would not have known this, because I didn't realize until today it was the accountant's verse. He didn't announce it as this. This is the way my brain processed it. Philippians 1:21, he was talking about, for me to live is Christ. We cannot change our own life. We cannot magnify and glorify Christ without Christ. We must be actively allowing Christ to work in our lives to be able to accomplish that. And here's the accountant's part. To die is gain. The term used there, gain, is actually a financial term. And gain is the interest to be paid, and it is the interest that is paid back through all of eternity. So if you want an investment, this is the best investment ever because it's infinite interest.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Anna Marie. I'm not an adult, I'm just late. Okay, so what I learned from the Wilds this weekend, which it was a lot of fun this weekend, what basically spoke to me the most this weekend was this morning, actually. And it was basically what the others were saying as for me to live for Christ is, and dying is gain for him. And just basically giving my life to Christ would be a gain in the long run. And to be honest, I've been struggling with this because I feel like if I give everything to Christ, then isn't he just going to take away everything that I want to do, everything that I like to do and that doesn't please him, that isn't serving him. And to be honest, it's something I've really, really been struggling with. But then he kept on speaking about how for me to live for Christ, to die is gain. And I was like, well, how is it gaining anything if I'm giving everything up? I mean, it doesn't make sense like that. And then he talked about, you know, for the long run, what about your eternal life? And how many things you will gain in your eternal life if you do give everything up now and for the moment. Because he was talking about how our lives are so insignificant to the eternal life and how it really doesn't matter what you go through as long as you're living for him. And so basically, I just would like you to pray with me about living for him boldly and courageously and giving to him everything.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, my name is Noelle, and I went to the Wilds last weekend with the College and Career Group, and our speaker was really good, and I took several things from each lesson, but his wife came up during one of the sessions and spoke to just us ladies for a moment, and she was talking all about decisions that we have to make in our life and how, you know, like as females, we get all stressed about all of that, or at least I do. I don't know about all y'all, but I do. And here recently, there's been so many things that's been going on in my life, and you know, I'm a planner, and so I'm like trying to write it all out on paper and figure out like, okay, this is the next step I take, this is the step after that, and everything. And what she said, stay focused on who I am as a woman, dependent on Christ, confident of who I am in Christ. And through everything, just live my life right now. And when the time comes to make that decision, God will make it obvious. And that was just so encouraging to know that, you know, God doesn't want to keep his will from you. You know, he wants you to know it, but he also knows when the perfect time is for you to know it. And so I ask that you'll just pray that I will stay patient and wait for him to tell me my next step in life.
No, don't even think about it. No. I knew he was going to do it before I got up here. My whole Christian life, I have struggled with the sin of not trusting God because I am such a control freak. And so I do good for a while, and I don't do good, and I do good, and I don't do good. And God he started showing me way before this trip, way before this weekend, of how if I would just trust him, he would work it all out before we even knew we had needs. I could just tell you so many things. In fact, I'm going to. All right. We always, when we go to the Wilds, we always ask the Wins first, Brock and Geneva Win, because they asked us 23 years ago if we wanted to go. And so if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be going. So they always have first dibs. They were not able to go this year. Then next, I've always asked the Sunday school teachers for the youth department.
Neither one of those couples were able to go. So then Ricky and I prayed about it. It was like, okay, who do we get to go with us? Because I'm sure everybody in the church would love to go with us, but who do we need to ask to go? And God laid on our heart Derek and Lorraine, and that was special because that's like the second generation of the Wins. So he worked that out. Then when we found out that the bus was not able to go, before Ricky could even call me and tell me that the bus wasn't going to be able to go, so what are we going to do about, you know, getting vans and stuff, Chris Clark, who doesn't even go to church here anymore, volunteered to drive the van, pull in the trailer that we were already going to borrow from them. So that was one van. We knew ours was another one. We called the Heises, and they said yes without hesitation that we could take their van. God worked it out. Then I was like, okay, how did I divide up the kids in the bus, you know, who rides in what van so that they're all happy and nobody's upset that they're not riding with their friends or age-appropriate people or whatever. There was just enough boys to be in a boy van, just enough girls to divide them up into two age-appropriate vans. I mean, he just worked it all out. And then sponsors, we knew we needed several sponsors from the beginning, and those were provided just like that. And then at the end, we didn't even know some sponsors were needed for some people. And people just kept coming up to me going, I want to be a sponsor. And I'm like, well, I don't know if there's a need, but I'll find out. And so we had some more sponsors at the end that I didn't even know there was a need until they sponsored first. And then God laid on my heart somebody to call and offer it to, and it was needed. So I just want to praise God for everything he did, that he just paved the road without us doing anything, without this control freak doing anything. And it's a miracle in itself that I did not freak out, not one time. I didn't stress. I didn't freak. Nothing. It was all, I just had peace the whole time God was doing all this, and he so did not need my help, as usual.
Derek, Kim.
Let me call a freak.
Now I feel like Matt. first of all, I did want to say thank you for those that did give financial for this trip. I don't know who benefited from that, but I do know that whoever benefited from the financial benefited spiritually while they were there. Let me say what got me the most was not even really in the sermon. This was from, I believe his name is Matt. Isn't that Mark's brother, the older one?
Yeah.
Matt. Matt came and talked about how his wife had died. He had two children with his first wife. And the two children are still in the ministry. They played instruments for us there that night, and he has since remarried, and but just how that we can trust God and what he gives us, the cards that he gives us in life, that we can trust him, and we can have grace in that. And you know, I was thinking about that. That's just what's been rolling over my head. And before we came down to take the offering tonight, I was thinking about it raining again here. And it made me think of the Israelis when they were led into the wilderness, and God gave them the manna, and that was great for a little while, but then it wasn't enough, and then he gave them the quail. And so often that we pray for stuff, we pray for something. We've needed rain quite a few times here lately, and we've not gotten it. We just wish we could have a little bit of rain, and now we've got it, and now it's too much. That we can just have grace and faith that God knows what he's doing, that we can trust in him. Another thing that I wanted to say was that I want to reiterate what my wife said. The kids were great. Crooked Creek Baptist Church can be proud of the kids that went. I really enjoyed being around them, although I did have to ride up with 14 girls. 15 counting the wife, which can sometimes count as two. but really, we really had a really good trip. Everybody was real well. I do want to praise God for safety. The trip up, it was late. It's getting dark early now. It got real foggy up in the mountains, and I was trying to keep up with Ricky. And I think he thought he was in a Formula One car. But really, twisty turns up there. The roads were wet. There was leaves everywhere. It was just hard to see. But the safety to and from, I really did want to praise God on that. I do have to say one thing that's going to be not spiritual, so I'm sorry. You said the kids couldn't say anything funny. And I understand what Ricky's saying with the games and the things that we do there. There's a thousand things that stick out in our minds with that. But I did want to say one thing about the zip line. It's something new, so a lot of y'all probably haven't heard about the zip line. And it's beautiful. It's a zip that goes across the waterfalls. You can see the waterfalls on either side. I think you were helping me out 300 some odd feet above on the first zip line and 500 on the second zip line. So you're way up in the air. But it was very beautiful. The ride itself was great. It was like almost like you were flying until you got to the end. When we stood and watched the other people going, the cable, kind of dips down. So we figured, you would, the weight of yourself going forward, and you would slow down as you get to the other end. And when Lorraine and I rode it, we were obviously backwards. You never can see where you're going, so we were backwards. And when I looked up to see where we were going to stop, we were coming in fast. And I was scared. But they had these brakes that stopped us. But that wasn't the funniest part. The funniest part was two people behind us was Zane. And I don't know if y'all notice how big Zane is when he's up here. But when he was coming through there, he was really moving. But it stopped him, so everything's good. But I did want to have one challenge for the kids that went this weekend. And I would love to say that it just applies to y'all, but it applies to my life as well. Something that was done every day was the God and I time. We're busy in our regular lives at home. And a lot of times we can't find time to read the Bible. But I noticed that we were really busy at the Wilds too. We had a lot of stuff going on. Yet we still had time for God and I. And it was scheduled for us to have that time. So I challenge you to find that time, not to fill in, but to have that specific time in the day that's going to be God and I time. And implement that into your daily lives and give God the chance to continue to talk to you, because he's not going to do it through the TV or through the sports or through the radio. He's going to do it when you're reading his word. So I challenge all of us to do that, to take that time and do that.
Hey, I'm Anna, and I just wanted to share something with y'all that God did in my life this summer. Going into the summer, then I had my whole life planned out. I knew what I was going to do, and I was living for the Lord, but I had what I wanted to do, and that's what I was going to do. And so, second week of the summer, then God started showing me things that I needed to change in my life. I was like, no, God, no, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I already know how my life is going to be. You can't tell me what I need to change and what I don't. But he showed me a verse. It was in Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And I was too stubborn to change anything on my own. And I kept telling God no, that I knew what I wanted for my life, and I knew who I wanted in my life and everything. And God slowly started taking things out of my life because I wasn't willing to do it on my own. And he got me to the point where I had nowhere else to turn. And I was like, okay, God, you can do whatever now. And it took a lot for me to get to that point, but I just wanted to thank the Lord for never giving up on me and for staying there and loving me. And even though when I don't understand what he's doing, he has my best, he knows what he's doing, and he has the best for me. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he had to bring me to my weakest point to show me that his strength was all that I needed in my life. And I would just like for y'all to pray for me that I'll continue to keep God first in my life and to keep trusting him, knowing that he knows what's best for me.
Amen. All right, I don't want to cut anybody off. Is there anybody else?
Hi, everybody. I'm JJ, and this week at the Wilds was amazing and everything, but the main thing that stood out to me was when Mr. Herbster, when he said people should be able to look at you and know that you're a Christian. And at gymnastics, if I haven't told everybody that I was a Christian, I don't think they would know I was, because when I mess up or fall or whatever, I get all stressed and down and basically act like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. So my coach always tells me that I need to, on the bad days, just shake it off and trust God and all kinds of stuff like that. And what Mr. Herbster said. And so I just hope that y'all can pray for me and about keeping my attitude right. And just if I break my leg, well, at least I didn't break my neck. So just have the right attitude. And that's it.